Broadcasting live from the Wake Forest Business Radio X studios in North Carolina, it's time for Carolina Connections, the radio show where business leaders connect.
Good morning. This is Cal Hackeman, your host for Metro Raleigh Business Radio X's Carolina Connections. Good morning, Reed. It's great to have you with us again in the producer's chair.
Hey, it's great to be here, Cal. Thank you.
So we have a great show today here on Carolina Connections, where we talk to interesting business leaders from Wake Forest, Raleigh, and the surrounding areas. Today we have four guests, so we have a full studio. All of our guests live locally and work right here in Wake Forest. And there's a special connection among these four business owners. They are two husband-wife teams. They each work together in the same space, but in separate businesses. And they all do that while they're raising growing children. So this should be a really, really fun show. Let's meet our four guests and start learning about their businesses and get some insight into what it's like to work with your spouse in the same space, even though you might not be working in the same business. First, we have Sarah Satterwhite. Sarah is the owner of Needed Relief Massage and All Natural Aesthetics. Good morning, Sarah.
Good morning, Cal.
We're also happy to have Rachel Williams with us. Rachel is the owner and the principal designer at Rachel Williams Design. Hi, Rachel.
Hi, it's great to be here.
Next, we have Kevin Satterwhite. Kevin is the owner of Custom Machines and Connections. Welcome, Kevin.
Yeah, good morning. Thanks for having me.
And finally, we have David Williams Jr. joining us from Focus Design Builders LLC, where he's an owner and the CFO. So welcome, David.
Good morning.
All right. Well, as you heard in the introductions, David and Rachel are in related but separate businesses. And actually, as I was putting the show together, I think David and Kevin are actually in similar businesses. And I think eventually we're going to find out that Rachel and Sarah are in separate businesses as well. So we have lots of connections between the four guests. We're going to start out by talking with David first. So David, you're a Wake Forest native. You went to school here. You started your work career here. You've been in business in Wake Forest for a while. Tell us about yourself and about your current company, Focus Design Builders.
Yes, I graduated from UNC Charlotte, returned home here to Wake Forest, became a licensed general contractor, and started in the construction world in 1998. And we formed Focus Design Builders in 2010. With myself, Paul Idle, and Craig Hedgepath. A little more about myself. I'm married to my high school sweetheart here in the studio with us and have two beautiful kids, Caitlin, 11, and Will, 9.
And hopefully they're listening to this show and they're now saying, yay, Dad remembered us. That's cool. Or you can play it for them tonight and say, you guys are famous.
Yeah.
Well, as you mentioned, Focus Design Builders is a Wake Forest-based company, but you design and you build outside the area as well. So how many states are you all licensed to work in?
We're licensed, of course, in North Carolina, Tennessee, Virginia, South Carolina, and Georgia.
All right. So you're spreading out.
Yes.
Focus Design Builders is a design build firm, so tell us a little bit about what that means and what is your design build process?
Okay. Well, our design build process, we feel, is the best in the market. With design build process, we put together a team of designers, engineers, along with our exceptional team that we have to develop a project with the customer's goals in mind. With a design build team in the construction market, you have a couple of different models. You have a bid and spec model is where an architect puts together a plan and a set of specs, and they bid it out to a group of general contractors. And then you have a design build process, which you work together as a team along the way to build a project for a customer. That model works, in our minds, saves money for the customer, mm-hmm. and saves time for the customer and delivers a product to them along the way versus a design build, or excuse me, a bid and spec process. You could end up completely done with a design, an architect's completely finished, and find out that you're several thousands or million dollars over budget and it has to be completely redesigned. You've lost time, you've lost, and you've spent extra money to have a redesign completed. And so with us evaluating the budget process throughout the design process, it keeps the project on budget and on time for the customer. And as we all know, time is money.
Absolutely. So basically the difference is that you're involved from the beginning to the end with
yes.
with the customer, and it's, I assume, easier to make changes as you go through this process because you've got both the builder and the designers involved here. So there's conversation back and forth, and in the final analysis, when it comes time to actually build it, you've actually been the ones to design it. So there's no question about, you know, what is this thing supposed to look like, or where is this beam supposed to go, or whatever other questions might come up if it was just a spec job, right?
Correct.
Now, do you only do design build projects, or do you do traditional building as well?
No, we also do, while we prefer to design build, 70% of our business is design build, and about 30% on average is bid and spec, whether it be for a public bid or a private bid. So we definitely are interested in projects that are bid and spec, and we bid on projects on a daily basis.
So you've been in business for a while. I've been in the building business for a while. I'm sure things have changed over the years since 1998 when you got started. Mm-hmm. Can you tell us a little bit about what that's been like and your own transition from where you were in 1998 to the kind of projects you're building today?
Sure. Starting in 98, I kind of like to tell the story, or not necessarily a story, but the transition of the internet in business. Well, first of all, you have, you know, we started out in residential, and the faster that the internet got, the faster the customer felt like that their project needed to be finished. So you started out, when we started out in business, it was, okay, well, you know, we'll get this project done. You give us a time frame, we follow in that. Well, as the internet got faster, people felt like their project needed to get faster. But, you know, while there's been some trends and changes in construction, it's certainly not as fast as the internet.
So you moved from primarily residential to doing some much bigger than residential projects today. Can you tell us a little bit about some of the projects you've got on the books and that you're working on?
Yes, we are our current projects under construction or in the process of starting construction are Wake Forest Baptist Church right in town here. We're doing a large addition fellowship hall to their facility, yeah. And a renovation of their basement and their existing facility. We are doing a very large renovation in First Baptist Church, Suffolk, Virginia. We're doing a Moffitt Pipe addition and new facility for them right here in Wake Forest. A neat project we're working on in Cary is the Pharmacy Bottle and Beverage, where we're renovating the inside of an older building.
Yeah, historic renovation, yes. Basically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then we're getting ready an exciting project for me and our team, Wake Forest Fire Station number 4. We're getting ready to start.
So. Yes. Well, let's take a little sidetrack here and tell us a little bit about your involvement with the Wake Forest Fire Department.
Well, I have 15 years with Wake Forest Fire Department and served as chief there for 2. And transitioned over to Youngsville Fire Department in 2008, where I serve as assistant chief now.
Fantastic. Great involvement in the community, and I think you're in the process of helping somebody buy a new fire truck, right?
Oh, yes. We're in the process in Youngsville purchasing a new, we've spec'd out a ladder truck and made that purchase and should be delivered in December.
Fantastic. Just in time for the Christmas parade, maybe.
That's right.
That's fantastic.
Hopefully.
So what are the most common questions or challenges that you encounter from your clients when you're sitting down with them to talk about a project?
Well, first and foremost is always budget. And okay. They want to try to get as much as they can for what, whether it be a small or large mm-hmm. budget, whatever they're we're trying to work into. So it's always the number one question: what is it going to cost me? And most of the time, they want to know what it's going to cost me right when they sit down at the
before they even tell you what they want you to build. Right?
That's right.
Yeah, exactly. You should be able to do that, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
What else? What other sort of questions do you typically talk with them about in the process of working with them on a project?
Typically, you know, first and foremost is where is the project? Are we doing a renovation? Are we doing is it a new building? If so, where's your land? And mm-hmm. if you pick that out, if you evaluate the challenges you might have on that property,
sure.
Evaluated the challenges you have in the existing mm-hmm. building that you're in that it's going to take to keep, whether your business is going to move, we got to keep that business in operation during the time, or whether or not, whether we can keep, you know, we can work together to get that done and what challenges you have there.
Sure. Well, so as I mentioned in the introductions, you and Rachel both have your offices in the same building. In fact, it's sort of right down the street from the studio here, and you sit kind of right down the hall from each other, as I recall from having been there. So what's it like for both of you to be entrepreneurs and to be working in the same facility?
Well, sometimes stressful, but no, we've actually worked together since starting the business in some capacity. Sometimes she was doing all the books, sometimes she was helping me design things, and sometimes just truly helping me run the business. So it's been a lot of fun. We've had a lot of fun. We do have the challenges of some of our customers want to meet in the evening, so we've got to, both of our kids are very, very active in yep. soccer and gymnastics, and so we have to deal with the challenges of shuffling the kids around to their activities and meeting our customers. And those are our biggest challenges, I'd say, we have. We work well together. We don't do many screaming down the hallway.
That's good. That's good. Well, you know, you and I have worked together before, and one of the things I always tell people when I tell them about working with you was how willing you were to come and meet with me, you know, on a Saturday or, you know, on a Sunday afternoon or whatever, because at the time I wasn't actually living here. And, you know, it just impressed me that, you know, that first phone call when you called right back and said, you know, just let me know when you need to meet and I'll be there. And, you know, I thought that was a real sign of somebody that was going to be successful to work with. And it turned out that way, of course. Well, before I go on to talk to our next guest, tell everybody how they can get in touch with you and how they can get in touch with Focus Design Builders.
Well, we right here local in Wake Forest, right here on 3129 Heritage Trade Drive, Suite 104. Our number is 919-453-0200. And we have a great website we'd love for you to go see at focusdesignbuilders.com.
All right. Well, I will be back to talk to you some more, but you can take a break for a minute, lean back from the microphone, and I'm going to go talk to Kevin Satterwhite, the owner of Custom Machines and Connections. So are you still doing all right over there, Kevin?
I'm still hanging in there.
All right. Well, why don't we start by talking about what you do for your customers at Custom Machines and Connections. So what's this business all about?
Custom Machines and Connections was started with the idea that I set out to prove that customer service is not dead.
All right.
Essentially. My experiences with IT, I was actually outside of IT and another business for a while before starting KMC. And my experiences with KMC with other IT companies were nothing close to what you'd expect somebody that works that intimately with, you know, the things that we depend on.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I wanted to change that. If I can't change the whole world, obviously, but if I can, one customer at a time, go that extra step, take the time to actually explain what's going on, explain what to do in the future and avoid having to spend this money again, and just be there for my customers. You know, hopefully I can start a trend and, you know, help get the IT guy image
cleaned up a little bit. Well, you've been working with computers for a long time. So when did you start working, or maybe I should say, when did you start playing with computers?
There's a running joke. I took my first transistor radio apart when I was 4 years old. I have been obsessed with all things electronics just about as long as I can remember. My first actual experience with working on computers was my teenage years, and very unskilled and overtrusted with the place that I was working for. And I ended up actually joining the Navy and going to data system school. And after leaving there, that's where I was outside of IT for a while.
There you go. Right. So, what got you interested in the field of computers?
I love the fact that when handled correctly, they can make our lives so much easier. And again, there are so many people that are so busy with their own businesses and their own lives that they don't have time to learn everything about a computer. So I wanted to be that guy.
Like all the other people in this room, actually, including myself.
So exactly.
We all have other things to do other than trying to figure out what makes that box work. And I don't know. I will speak for myself, but I am happy to leave that to you. So so you mentioned that one of the things that sets Custom Machines and Connections apart from other IT businesses is customer service. You want to talk a little bit about how you approach customer service with your clients?
I have a personal motto: own your machine. I don't just take somebody's computer and fix it. Like I said, I will take the time. I had a customer just last week that was in my office for 4 hours with me. We worked on his computer together. He was very interested in what was going on under the hood, so to speak, mm-hmm. and he wanted to know how to avoid some of the, you know, smaller pitfalls that, you know, were painful financially. Mm-hmm. And that's what we focused on. I'm not trying to put myself out of business, but I know there are tons of computers out there, and that's just how I prefer to treat people.
Now, you also design computers, right? You build computers in addition to repairing.
Yes.
If I can use that term loosely. So you and David are kind of in similar businesses, as in design and build, right?
Yeah.
Maybe on a slightly different scale.
Yeah.
David is thinking to himself, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know if I get this or not. But yeah, I think. So what are, you know, you just used the word design. Do you see some similarities between what David talked about in terms of design and build and what you're doing with your clients in terms of design and build and helping them understand the computers?
Well, I think the how much is this going to cost before ever actually discussing needs is definitely a similarity. And there are computers that can do everything. I mean, I can build a machine the size of a Altoids 10 that mm-hmm. you can run a home theater off of. people all have different needs, and there's an art form, I think, to actually meeting those needs in terms of designing and building a computer around them. So yeah, I think in a way, just in that aspect,
You're kind of in a similar business. So, well, speaking of customers, tell us a little bit about your typical customer or your ideal customer. Who is that? What type of business is it? How many machines do they have?
My typical customer, the small business, homeowners, the people that need my help the most.
Okay.
Larger companies, obviously, for the most part, have their own IT team. Small businesses, 1, 2, 3, 4 employee places, tend to only need IT services on an every now and then basis, as do, you know, your typical homeowner.
Mm-hmm.
Those are my typical customers, and I love it that way. I like the, you know, small town feel, I guess.
Well, I'm one of those typical customers, so I'm one of those homeowners who has multiple devices that don't always work just exactly the way that I like them to work. So, yes, I'm one of your typical customers. And, you know, you and I have talked about this before, but I always think of IT as an enabler. You know, it's one of those things that for a business or for me as an individual, it's just supposed to work. That's what I assume. I wake up in the morning and I assume that I can hit the on button, that everything's going to come on, everything's going to work just fine. And I'm sure, you know, David and Rachel and Sarah feel the same way. When they turn their computers on in the morning, they want them to come on. They don't want a bunch of crazy lines across the screen. And they don't want any noise. They just want it to just come on, and they want their homepage to come up and everything to just work. Unfortunately, I guess fortunately for you, that doesn't always happen. Unfortunately for us, that doesn't happen. So what are a couple of the most common issues or questions that you get from your customers?
Probably one of the most common questions I get is, how did I get this virus? And my favorite saying is the most oft told lie on the planet is, I have read and understand this agreement. If I could give one piece of advice to anyone, read everything. And if you're not clear, ask.
And don't download it until you know what you're downloading. Right?
Exactly.
Yeah. So, well, like David and Rachel, you and Sarah have your business in the same building.
Mm-hmm.
So tell us, what is it like to share an office or share a space with your spouse, even though you're in very different businesses?
It's pretty quiet for the most part. Her field, she's with clients hands-on most of the day, so there's not a lot that I see of her. Fortunately, she stays busy.
Mm-hmm.
But I've got my best friend at work with me. I can't complain.
That's fantastic. Well, before I go and talk to Rachel and Sarah, Kevin, tell us how somebody can get in touch with you and Custom Machines and Connections if they need your help.
Well, custom is spelled with a K. And my email is kevin@custommachines.com. I can be reached at area code 919-645-8919. And my website is www.custommachines.com.
All right. As we would expect, lots of ways to get in touch with you.
Of course.
And very easy ways to do it. So, all right. Well, I will be back to talk to you in a little bit also. But now we're going to talk to Rachel Williams, the owner and the principal designer at Rachel Williams Design. So, Rachel, you're also a Wake Forest native.
I am.
Tell us how you got started in the business of interior design.
All right. Well, I guess I started out with David when he decided to form his residential building company. As he said, I started out keeping his books, and I was a kind of stay-at-home mom / bookkeeper.
Mm-hmm.
And as he began to build some spec homes, I started working with him on choosing the plans, the finishes, and from there just decided that's what I was really interested in and enjoyed doing. We were selling homes, so I kind of felt like I had a knack for it. And I eventually went back to school and got my degree in interior design and formed my own company about 5 years ago, and started developing my customer base separately as well.
Fantastic. So is there a specific area of interior design that you specialize in at Rachel Williams Design?
Yes. I mainly do new construction. My design firm's a little different from others in that I don't do a lot of the decorating side of it. I mainly work with builders and homeowners with their new construction projects, new homes.
Okay. And so you've been in business, you said, about 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
Have you seen a lot of changes in interior design over that period of time?
I have. When I first started out my business, I did delve into the furniture side of things and the decorating side of things. But, you know, I ended up with the client, well, my budget's $1,000 and I need an entire living room done. And I want to pay you that fee within that $1,000. So, you know, I've had a lot of challenges with, you know, wanting the HGTV look for the HGTV small, you know, budget. So
right.
That's when I kind of made my decision that that's really not the area that I want to delve in. And I, that's when I moved over into, you know, just working with new construction and new homes where the budget was already set. This is what you have to work with. And it just made my life a little easier.
Now, do you also do commercial?
I do. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Some small commercial projects.
And have you seen changes there as buildings have gotten more environmentally friendly? And I know, you know, there are other changes. Are there other trends that you see on the commercial side of the world?
You know, a lot of the commercial stuff is actually similar to the residential in that, you know, you're already choosing products in residential that are going to be safe for your family, safe for your children. So a lot of that can kind of go over into the commercial world as well.
Sure.
You just, you know, you have your other obstacles in that you've got to add in the ADA, the handicap accessible portion to it, and the green side of things.
Right, right. Well, interior design is clearly a critical part of any space.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it can really make the difference in terms of whether we're comfortable in that space or not comfortable in that space. What would you say is the difference that you make when you're working with a client and you put your signature look on their facility?
I think the difference probably for me is, you know, I'm coming as a mom with two kids who's busy, so I see functional more than aesthetic. Yes, you want your place to look pretty, but, you know, all those things you see in the magazines are vignettes that are set up for pictures. They're not necessarily livable. So I think the biggest thing is to make sure when you're selecting products that you can live in the space. You know, you're not putting a white sofa in when you've got two small children and a dog and a cat.
Uh-huh. Yeah, so, good point. Who would be your ideal client?
I have a couple. You know, my ideal clients would be a builder where he's building new homes and coming to me, or a homeowner who's actually building a custom home for themselves.
Okay. Now, do you and David get to work together much?
We do, quite a bit.
And how does that go?
It goes pretty well. For the most part, I really don't even have a lot of contact with David. I'm mostly working with his customers and organizing their selections. So, you know, I'm getting the budgets from him, and as long as I stay in those budgets, I'm good to go.
Seems like there's a theme here of budget, budget, budget. Yeah, money is... I saw a saying once that said, money's not everything, but it's way ahead of whatever's in second place.
That's right.
That's interesting. What's the most fulfilling part of what you're doing at Rachel Williams Design?
I think the biggest and most fulfilling thing is, you know, when I actually complete a home and it sells and the homeowner is excited about it, it comes together, you know, they make the comment, I never could have done this by myself, thank you, and they actually love their home, or, you know, it sells immediately when the builder is finished with it or before he can even finish it.
Sure. Somebody walks in and goes, wow.
Right.
And it's sold. And
right.
You had a part of that.
Yeah.
So that's great. Well, so you and David have the same office space.
We do.
We asked David how that was. He gave us his answer. So what's it like working within a short distance of each other?
It's not bad. You know, most people say that they would fight, but we really don't. We get along pretty well. For the most part, we don't even see each other throughout the day. He's busy, I'm busy. You know, so the biggest thing is coordinating who's going to pick up the kids when we have a client meeting and
right.
How that's going to be handled.
Do you ever bring the kids in the office?
We do. We take turns with that.
I can relate to that. Believe me, when I was in business myself, my kids spent, especially when they were young, they spent many hours playing on the floor, and some of my coworkers got to know them well.
That's right.
I think you have some special awards or accolades that you've gotten in your field. You want to tell us about that?
I do. I have won several Parade of Homes awards in Ooh. Both Wake County and Franklin County, several golds and silvers and a bronze. And I also have recently completed my CQRID certification, which is the Council for Qualified Interior Designers.
Okay.
I completed that 2 years ago and became a certified interior designer as a professional certification that's aside from my 2-year degree.
Fantastic. Fantastic. Well, congratulations to you.
Thank you.
The Parade of Homes, I know, mm-hmm. to win on the Parade of Homes is really something.
Yes, it's very exciting.
Very exciting. So, well, Rachel, how can somebody get in touch with you and learn more about you and more about Rachel Williams Design?
All right. The best way to reach me is on my cell phone, the 919-291-1758. I also have a website, and the most important thing is to spell my name correctly, and that is RACHAEL.
Okay.
So to reach me at my website, it's rachelwilliamsdesign.com.
Very good. Very good. Yes, we have a lot of spelling lessons here. I think David, you have the easy one. Everybody knows how to spell David Williams, but we have Custom Machines over here with a K and Kevin with a K, and now we have Rachel with an AE to make sure to do that. And now we're going to go talk to Sarah Satterwhite of Needed Relief Massage and All Natural Aesthetics. That is a long name to put on a business card.
It is. I think both Kevin and I didn't think through our business names when we were thinking about, you know, printing and actually being able to fit all of that into a logo or a business card.
Well, thank goodness for social media, right? Where
That's right.
It's not as expensive to put those long names out there as it was when we had to print them and put them up on billboards or wherever. So, well, thank you, Sarah, for waiting so patiently.
Not a problem. I would say you saved the best for last, but I know I'm in good company, so I can't really say
well,
that.
Well, I saved you for this point in the show because I think you're going to bring it all together for
us. Oh, okay. No pressure.
So I'll tell you why. So David and Kevin are designing and building. We've
yes.
established that.
Right.
Okay. They are enabling their clients. And to some extent, I would say they are relieving the stress that
okay.
comes with building a new building or building a new computer system or fixing an old building or fixing an old computer system. Rachel is designing space that her clients will either live or work in. And in so doing, she's creating what she hopes will be a stress-free environment for those clients. And you mentioned, you know, don't put the white sofa in the middle of the family room if you got, you know, two kids who play soccer and two dogs, right?
That's right.
So even when David and Kevin and Rachel all succeed, which they do on a regular basis at what they do, you are the ultimate stress reliever.
Oh, thank you.
For them
mm-hmm.
and for their clients. So let's hear a little bit about what you do for your clients. Tell us about Needed Relief, and I'm just going to refer to it as Needed
that's
Relief.
Fine.
That's okay.
That's fine.
And the services and products that you provide.
Okay. Well, I'm a licensed massage therapist, so that's where the relaxation and stress relief comes from. Just to touch on the natural aesthetic side, I do offer some body treatments and skin treatments using, you know, only all natural products, nothing with, you know, these dyes, perfumes, you know, petroleum products, some scary stuff that you really wouldn't go near if you knew what was in a lot of what's on the shelf today. The majority of my business certainly is the massage therapy side. I've been in business for 3 years, but been in the massage field now since 2001.
So, okay.
Yeah, it's been a while.
So you've been a while at it. How'd you come up with the name of the company?
I don't remember my, you know, specific inspiration. I guess since your listeners don't see the spelling of it, Needed is spelled K-N-E-A-D-E-D. So it's like kneading bread in the sense, you know, so I just going with the idea of the hands-on, you know,
absolutely.
Work on the body.
Yep. And what made you decide that you wanted to start your own business?
Well, like I said, I'd been in massage originally to kind of complement my, I was a athletic trainer and in sports medicine. It was an added tool in my, you know, bag of tricks to help return athletes to, you know, their field or court, whatever they were playing. And then I transitioned to, you know, massage therapy full time. I have worked in some of the corporate settings that we won't name specifically, and kind of, you know, quickly became frustrated with that style of business, that feeling that you're on a very tight time schedule, you are seeing clients almost in turnstile fashion.
Right.
You know, in massage therapy school, you know, a lot of times they say, you know, the client's just another body on the table. Well, I don't really like to look at it that way. Yes, you know, you don't really judge a person, you know, from one client to another, but they should be a little more important to you than just another body.
Absolutely.
So,
well, you know, David and Rachel, we didn't really talk about this, but I know this because I know them. They're runners.
Okay.
So I think they can probably relate to getting their bodies back in shape after a marathon or a half a marathon or whatever it is, right? You know.
For sure.
Now you have a studio here in Wake Forest. Do you have another studio as well?
No. I did start with a North Raleigh location, and then shortly thereafter, when Kevin moved into the building that we're currently sharing here in Wake Forest, I eventually transitioned as well.
Okay. So you're based right here in Wake
Forest.
Yes. What do you think the most common misconception about massage is?
I guess the misconception I'd like to correct is that it's just for special occasions. It's a once in a while treat or pampering type of a thing. Mm-hmm. I look at massage therapy much more as a piece of a healthy lifestyle in general, you know, part of a healthy diet, other stress management, practices, that sort of thing, but it's something that should be done on a regular basis to optimize your health, not just come and feel good for an hour once a year.
And so how often would somebody come for a massage viewing it as you just described as part of a healthy lifestyle?
Right. It's going to depend, obviously, on what their health status, what's going on with them, if it's strictly as a, you know, maintenance program to kind of keep, you know, the day-to-day stress of being a human being in today's society. You know, once a month, once every 6 weeks is
okay.
At least kind of a baseline. My clients who have chronic headaches or are in pain or recovering from, you know, certain, you know, other pain situations or specific problems, we need to, you know, see them more often, even as frequently as once a week at first. Everything's tailored to what that client needs.
Well, that's a nice lead in to the next question I was going to ask you, which is what sort of sets you apart from other massage therapists and the day spas, which are popping up all over the place?
Yeah. I think what I've tried to do is create a comfortable and approachable environment. You know, our office is a converted home. It's not necessarily as bright and shiny and polished as maybe some of the fancy day spas are, but to me, it's more comfortable. I want my client to feel like they're coming over to a friend's house. I want mm-hmm. to feel like, I want them to feel comfortable, you know, talking to me, letting me know what's going on with their family, work stress, you know, what's contributing to what's going on with how they feel.
And who is your ideal client?
My ideal client is anyone that wants to take a, you know, proactive ownership of their health. Someone who sees massage as, you know, like, as I said, a piece of a, you know, larger picture. You know, whether they're an athlete, a business person, you know, a stay-at-home mom, that doesn't matter. You know, mm-hmm. what walk of life you come from doesn't matter. It's the fact that you are acknowledging that you need to take a positive step in, you know, taking control of your health.
So you and Kevin share space right up here on Wade Avenue in Wake Forest. Very comfortable space, as you mentioned. It's a converted home. What's it like to share an office with Kevin and all of his machines and computers and
All the wires.
All the other wires and stuff he's got going on there.
Overall, as everyone else said, I think we work very well together. It's, you know, very convenient on one hand. It's very reassuring to know that your biggest supporter and best friend is right there in the building with you. So, you know, whatever's going on, you have an ear that you can always go, hey, I need to talk to you for a second about this or that. So overall, it's worked out well.
That's great. Well, Sarah, so if somebody wants to get in touch with you because they want to talk to you about your services, how's the best way to do that?
All right. My phone number is 919-448-7580. They can also go to my website, which is relaxraleigh.com. And as you've mentioned, our office is located at 647 Waite Avenue, right in downtown Wake Forest.
Okay. Well, so if we want first-class design and building services, we know that we go to Focus Design Builders and we go to Rachel Williams Design. We've established that. We know that Kevin and Custom Machines and Connections will take care of our IT for us. And now we know that Needed Relief will help us relax. So I think we've pretty much got it covered. We know a lot about what you do and how you do it, but now I want to talk to you about another side of your business, which is a common attribute that you all share, which is being successful entrepreneurs.
Okay.
This doesn't just happen, okay? It sounds like you've all been growing your businesses and your clients, and I'd like to just have you share some insights about how you've done that. So, David, what's the biggest challenge you have in finding new clients?
I would say not necessarily a challenge. A lot of our work comes from word of mouth, and we do advertising and try to participate in local charities and golf tournaments and chambers and their activities that they have to promote our business. I'd say at least 80 to 90% of our business comes word of mouth. Some of it's social media, but majority of it's word of mouth.
And do you want to say anything about the role of social media these days in helping you get business?
Well, as everybody knows, social media now and internet and web pages are a big part of where people go to figure out if that is a stable company. So definitely website and having a clean, crisp, nice website and having social media, keeping it up to date with photos and things like that. We don't do a lot of the blogging and just because of time constraints, but
right. Well, we are tweeting on your behalf today, so maybe that will take you into a new world of social media. But Reed is tweeting all during the show, and of course we'll have the show up on the internet for you very soon. So once you have a prospective client, whether they come to you or you go to them, what's the initial conversation like? How do you get in front of them? How do you help them understand the value that you're going to bring to them?
The first typical conversation, if they're not familiar with our business and how our business works, we typically start out with explaining to them the design build process and the value of starting in that, going down the path of design build and the time frame and the keeping the project on budget. A lot of our customers do come to us with very tight budgets and very tight time frames.
Mm-hmm.
And once they understand the value of the design build and the potential of losing time in their business, and which again, we talked about time is money for them and us, they realize that the design build process is the best avenue for them to take.
Sure. Rachel, how about you? You've been in business for a while. You probably started out with a client or a couple of clients, and today you have a lot more than just one or two. What's been the most challenging part of growing your business?
I would say probably the economy has played a big part of it. You know, builders have turned to their showrooms, and a lot of the showrooms in the area, the flooring showrooms and the cabinet showrooms, have designers on staff. So they'll throw the house plan at them and say, hey, put something together for me. Mm-hmm. You know, the downside to that is you've got your cabinet showroom putting the cabinets together, your flooring showroom putting the floors together. You don't really know they're going to mesh. But that's probably been my biggest challenge is budgets within the home building.
And when you're talking to a prospective client, what are some of the questions they would typically ask you, and how would you respond?
A lot of it that I'm finding is where do I start? How do I put my house together and it all look good in the end? And, you know, that first of all, I'd say that's my job. I'm here to help you do that.
Okay.
So, you know, just kind of making them feel comfortable with me and seeing that I'm listening to them and not necessarily putting my ideas and my style on their home.
So a lot of listening,
right.
Trying to understand what they're going to be comfortable
right.
with, and then you sort of make that happen for
exactly.
them, as opposed to you walking in and saying, you know, my favorite color is burgundy,
right.
and
this
I
is
think
how
your
it's
house
gonna
be. Would look great in burgundy, right?
Right, right.
Yeah. Good point. Well, Sarah, you know, you've been in the massage business for a while. I imagine that you have a following of regular repeat clients.
I do. I'm very excited about that.
Which is great. But what are you doing to continue to grow your business and get new clients?
Well, I think, like David said, I think the biggest source is word of mouth. I'm very proud of the fact that I see multiple members of families in my business. It's not strictly individuals, but one will start. I will say it's usually the mom that breaks the ice first, and then word spreads from there. You know, mom takes over and starts scheduling appointments for everybody else and getting them in the door. So I have several couples, families. I'm actually, if I can throw this out there, looking to expand into seeing more youth clients. I think teenagers and, you know, young, you know, even children today are a real underserved market with the fact that they have to sit in school for so many hours a day, carry backpacks that are incredibly heavy.
Mm-hmm.
We take for granted that, oh, they're just kids, they're fine. We somehow think that they should just build up 18 years of stress and muscle tension, and then when they're an adult, they can start figuring that out. So I would like to start addressing more of that.
Interesting. Well, and we have a lot of kids who are playing sports.
Exactly.
Which, you yeah. know, creates another need. So, Kevin, we didn't talk too much about your business model, but because I'm one of your clients, I know you have a little bit different business model than everybody else here in that you offer your customers a service agreement, an ongoing service agreement. And and assuming that they have a service agreement, then, you know, you are the person that they call
right.
because they have the service agreement. So in a way, you have a little bit of a built-in customer base here. But how do you expand that base of customers so that you can continue to grow the business?
I am sticking with what I started with, patience.
Patience.
I treat every customer or client that walks through the door like a $500,000 billboard. If I take care of them well enough, they will bring me more business. And so far, in the time that I have been open, I've yet to spend one dime in marketing.
Wow. Well, that's impressive. And you've got a obviously a ongoing business over there that is keeping you busy, at least based
yes.
on conversations you and I have. So, well, so again, we've sort of talked about, you know, design build. We've talked about, I think there is kind of a little bit of the theme here of serving the customer, giving the customer what they want. That's certainly, you know, the case in design build is, you know, you're listening to the customer's needs and you're trying to, within their budget, give them as much of what they want as they can possibly get. Rachel, we've got some folks here that, you know, a couple of other folks other than David. I assume that you helped David make his workspace pleasant and stress-free and his home that way. You have just a couple of tidbits of advice for folks who might be thinking about designing or redesigning their space?
Well, of course, my first piece of advice is going to be hire a designer.
Absolutely.
you know, my job is to find problem areas in the beginning and to make sure that, you know, that sofa is going to fit in that space or your desk is going to fit on that wall, and you're not going to be having to, you know, you're not going to have to turn sideways to get in and out of your office or your home. So, you know, that's definitely my biggest piece of advice, is to spend a little bit to save a lot in the end. And then, you know, the second is just going to be, you know, put your own spin on things. Don't necessarily follow what you see in a magazine or on TV. You know, it's okay to add your own elements and mix different styles and just make it work together.
Fantastic. And Kevin, I couldn't let you out of here without giving you the opportunity to share a couple words of advice for all of us, including myself, who were here, about what we should do to keep those devices running so we can concentrate on whatever else it is that we're trying to do.
I would say look at your computer the same way you would your car. If you don't understand where the alternator goes, don't put it in. If you're not sure what a driver is, or if you're not clear how to install that piece of software, call me. I will gladly help you, and in the long run, it will cost a lot less.
Yes, it will. I can attest to that. All right. Well, we're almost out of time. This has been a very interesting show with a couple of unique themes, I think. We started out talking with David about how Focus Design Builders works with businesses and universities and individuals to build signature buildings. While many folks think of building as a stressful process, I would say to everybody who's listening that I've worked with you and you take the stress out of building because you deliver on time on budget. And I think that is a tremendous differentiator for what you do and what you do for your clients. We talked about Kevin, about how he keeps his clients, helps them keep their devices running, even when viruses and hackers do their best to interfere, which is more and more frequent. So again, I'll add a personal note here and say thanks for bailing me out on numerous occasions and helping me to keep my devices running.
Anytime, Calvin. Thanks.
Then we talked to Rachel about how Rachel Williams Interior Design Consultants adds a lot of personal touches and makes those spaces pleasant and inviting and actually makes them work, which I think is one of the real keys here. You know, the space has got to work. Mm-hmm. And finally, we talked to Sarah about how she provides that needed relief to her clients, and how she just gets them to make massage a part of their ongoing life. So I think this has been a great show. Thanks everybody for being here.
Thank you, Cal.
Thank you for having us.
It's been great.
You're very welcome. Hopefully you had a good time. I told you were going to have a good time at the beginning, and I hope you did. So we've been broadcasting live from our studios in the Wireless Research Center, North Carolina, here in Wake Forest. And I'd also like to thank our other power partners, the North Carolina Technology Association and Entredot, for helping spread the word about what business leaders are doing in Metro Raleigh. We look forward to bringing another exciting and informative show next week on Metro Raleigh Business Radio X's Carolina Connections at the same time on the same day next week. So on behalf of our guest, on behalf of our producer, Reed Powell, this is Cal Hackman, your host, and I'm signing off.